You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and financially sound. Now, having over 30 years experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, today's topic is going to be the options for families of teenagers that are struggling from extreme emotional difficulties or substance abuse. Now, currently, there are not many effective treatment alternatives, that are covered by insurance or affordable to families that that find themselves in a situation to where they just are struggling a little bit financially. And that doesn't mean that their children still aren't going through difficulties and still don't need help. So our guest today is Leslie Goldberg. Leslie is the founder and president of the Goldberg Center for Educational Planning. It's a provider of therapeutic and educational placement advice, which she's been doing for over 20 years. Leslie is also a certified guidance counselor, a certified educational planner, as well as certified to administer and interpret the Welshner Intelligence Scales and the Stanford-Binet Scales. Leslie, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thanks, Alan. And by the way, that's grown to 27 years.
It has grown to 27 years. Okay.
Yes.
So I must have pulled up some old information because I know that you've been doing
this. That's okay.
Well, I know that you've been doing this a long time. I know for as long as I've been coming to conferences and such, you have been there and you have been really one of the people that has continued to help this industry grow by helping more families. So I thank you for that.
And I thank you.
Now, I mean, before we talk about about saving teens and about some of the ways in which people who need some sort of assistance, for some of our listeners that maybe aren't familiar with what an educational consultant does, can you share a little bit of that with our audience?
Absolutely. The best way that I think to describe an educational consultant's work is essentially as a matchmaker. I know that sounds odd, but the parents don't know where to turn, and they turn to us to help find the right fit, to help solve whatever's going on at home, whether it's learning issues, emotional, drug, cognitive, physical, whatever challenges they are. We need to be chasing around the country, visiting all of these places, so we have truly an up-to-the-minute idea of what they are doing and how they're doing it best.
You know, one of the ways that I explain it, because I get calls from parents quite a bit, and many times parents are in a very desperate situation, especially if they get to the point to where they're calling me as an investigator or a transport agent, and then they start asking about, well, I don't know, just take them to a program. In fact, we were on the Dr. Phil show at one time, and when that show aired, every hour we would get about 100 calls, and it was amazing to me how many parents would call and say, can you just take my child to a program? And I'd go, okay, well, which program are you working with? And they'd go, well, I'm not working with any of them, but, you know, I mean, my child's run away and I want you to just go pick them up and take them to one of those programs. And so I refer them to educational consultants like yourself And one of the ways that I explain to them, because they go, well, what do you mean an educational consultant? Why do I need that? I mean, if you know how to drive to these programs, why not just take them to one? And I explain to them that, you know, an educational consultant spends, you know, half the year running around, going out to all of the different programs, and they know all the different nuances. They know the changes. They know the specialties. They know all the things that helps them to determine, as you put, what is the right match. You know, in other words, you know, you wouldn't send a child that is, you know, dealing with chemical dependency, you know, as a you know, as a primary issue, and you wouldn't send them to a program that works with kids that are dealing with autism, you know. So, you know, it's those types of things, and I find myself having to explain what it is that you do and why it is so important to the process. So I thank you for, you know, for being here and for explaining it. And I hope that everybody really understands, you know, how important.
Well, I just, if I could just jump in, I think educational consultant is somewhat of a misnomer, other than the fact that many of the programs, in fact, most of them, are accredited educational schools. But we are doing much more than the education fit. It's truly about the whole child. And all of us specialize in different ages and different kinds of issues. This profession started just doing private schools and colleges, and it's grown quite a bit. So educational consultant, the term is very confusing, and I understand that. We just haven't changed it because of our professional association. In addition, just so that you know, all consultants don't visit the way some of them do. So that's a question parents should always ask. Tell me about your last month. Where have you been?
Yeah, that's a great point, is that not only are there different areas that educational consultants may specialize in, be it therapeutic or college prep, but as you said, there's also some that approach their business differently, and they go out and they visit more. So generally when I'm telling them that, I'm sort of referring in essence to the ones that, you know, that I'm most familiar with and most comfortable with. So, but thank you for sharing that. Now, what I'd like us to be able to get into is, you know, if you can share a little bit with our listeners, you know, why you're involved with the nonprofit organization Saving Teens.
Absolutely. I was approached a number of years ago by John Rubin, who is the founder of this charitable organization. He had two of his sons in programs himself and really felt the need to provide a way for middle-class families to help their kids. And so we started this. He approached me and I said, oh, and how much are you making? I'm being very honest. And he said, nothing. I'm doing this just because I want to help. And so those of us who are working with the organization, it is all pro bono. And we provide different options. The educational consultants screen all of the cases to make sure about the match. The students, the adolescents or young adults, although it's primarily adolescents, are screened for getting testing, neuropsych evaluations, or whatever needs to be done. And we are trying to help the well-to-do, many of us, because we deal with the private pay programs. The families do have the money to afford that. The poor are funded through their state organizations, typically. It's the middle class that have to have a second or third mortgage on their home, and really are in the poorhouse because of it. And those are the ones who are hit the hardest in my experience. And so we have a screening process. I don't do the screening financially. There are people in that field who do the screening more on the board so that they are a fit financially. The parent has to contribute something. The programs, we are having a charitable golf tournament right now in Irvine at the Tustin Ranch Golf Resort. And then we have our National Association of Therapeutic and Specialty Programs, NATSAP conference, where all the programs will be attending. So in that day, we are raising funds to be able to help a student, typically, as I said, an adolescent, for 2 years of their treatment. It can be wilderness, it can be, and then followed by a longer-term program, and then a transition plan as well. Parents are involved, programs are involved, saving teams, board and advisory members are involved.
Now, I want to add...
Explain?
Go ahead.
No, I just didn't know. Is that understandable enough for your audience to get a feel for what we do and why we do it?
Okay. And I want to add something. When Leslie says that she's doing this pro bono, as is John, and as are, you know, a lot of professionals that are donating their time to do this, that allows more money to go directly to helping these young people. And that's really important. And again, as an investigator, I've investigated nonprofit organizations from the standpoint of, you know, how much of the money actually goes. And I think a lot of people would be surprised. And I think that's something that for a lot of you out there, if you're as a family or your company has a budget in which they plan to make charitable donations, look into that. Ask those companies and say, you know, ask the nonprofit that you've been donating to, what percentage of this money, and they have to, by law, they have to file this, what percentage of the money actually goes to the cause versus the administration of it? And when you find that out, you may want to make a change, and you may want to go with someone like Saving Teens, to where you know that that money is going directly to the cause that you want and to helping these young people. So it's a very important point that I think as Leslie went over it, I wanted to make sure everybody got it. It's truly an important point because it allows them to help as many people as possible. So.
Thank you.
And with that, we have a caller on the line. And if caller, if you can hear me, and I believe you are a parent, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about your situation.
So my name is Jennifer. I'm from Connecticut, and I have a daughter who is 15 years old. She was diagnosed when she was 6 years old with reactive attachment. And as you guys were talking about, it's very, very difficult to find, first of all, to find anywhere to go to get help for your child with a special problem. And secondly, I agree with Leslie wholeheartedly. I have mortgages, credit cards, loans. The state, I make too much money for the state to help, but I really don't make enough money to be able to help her myself. She had been in two programs before I actually hooked up with Saving Teens, and my retirement's gone, her college fund is gone, the next thing to go was my house, because you really have to fund everything yourself, and it's your child, you're going to do anything for them.
Now,
so, you know, I have experience with Saving Teens, amazing.
Well, now, if you are comfortable with it, can you share with us the story of your child and where you're at now in the process?
Absolutely. My daughter is adopted from South Korea. She was one when she came home. It was 5 years of nobody believing that she had any problems except me. I'm a single mom. So it was 5 years of pulling her hair out, poking her legs, poking the dogs, stealing, all the lovely things that happen. And when I finally did get her diagnosed, the school, the education, you know, you don't really look to an educational consultant when you're trying to do everything yourself, because my problem wasn't education. My problem was this child's behavior, which was out of control. I had to lock everything up at night because she would steal from me. I mean, it just goes on and on. So you kind of are at your wit's end. The best that the state could tell me was that I should go drop her off somewhere in one of their DCF offices and tell them I couldn't take care of her anymore, at which point
wow.
I would be arrested for child endangerment and they would somehow do something with her. Now, I mean, this is your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you commit. You're not going to just put them. First of all, I'm not going to just dump her off somewhere. She's not disposable. But she, you know, you're not going to put them into hands that you don't even know.
Of course.
I mean, so scary, and you're frustrated, and you're alone, and so anyway, basically, at my wit's end, like I said, 2 years ago, ready to sell my house, because I didn't know what else to do other than to try and put her in a program that I could somehow afford, but it's very difficult to find, like you were talking about, the match.
Uh-huh.
You know, my daughter has some very specific issues, and there's a lot of treatment out there for different things, but not a lot for reactive attachment. It's fairly new. So thank God that I met up with Saving Teens. Leslie took our case. I mean, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped us. She found a school for my daughter. We're a year into this school, and I will tell you, it's unbelievable. This child is actually my friend now. She joined the choir. She sings. She's made the honor roll. She's working on intense trauma treatment based from her adoption and her first year of life. I mean, just things I didn't even think. I didn't even think it was possible. I have to be honest. I just figured this was something like I had to just carry this burden, because you don't know what to do.
Well, and that's one of the things, and I really appreciate you calling in and sharing this story, but it's one of the things that actually makes Saving Teens so special is that, you know, there are nonprofits out there, and they're focused on one particular issue. You know, so in other words, there's a, you know, nonprofit if your child falls into this category. The beauty of this situation is that to be able to get you know, someone like Leslie, you know, who is so knowledgeable in this field to begin with, and then to have them be able to help you find the right place, and at the same time, then with Saving Teens to be able to get that right place, you know, to work with your child and to be able to use some of the donations to make all this happen. I mean, it's like it's the best of all worlds. And that's one of the reasons why I am supportive of it, and why I wanted to make sure and get them on and talk about it with our audience, because it's a unique and very, very special organization. So if you can, share with us a little bit more of some of the specifics. Now, think of it as you're talking to some of the parents out there who are struggling with their child, and they don't know what to do, or they don't know what certain things mean. What are some of the more detailed things that you would share?
Well, the first thing I would say is you have to treat this as if your child had a broken leg. I talk to my daughter all the time as if, you know, Nessa, if you had diabetes, this would be no different. We would go to the ends of the earth for you, because this isn't your fault. And any child who has a behavioral or a mental illness problem or whatever it happens to be, it's not their fault. So you can't be embarrassed by it. Reach mm-hmm. out to other people. Talk about it. Don't be pushed around. I mean, the school told me, her school said that this was my problem because her problems were only at home. That this was not an educational problem, and they couldn't help me at all. I think that Leslie mentioned NatSAP. It's a fabulous organization. I call their website my Bible. They have a great, fabulous listing of schools. But as she mentioned, I think it's so key to be able to hook up with the right school that's a fit.
Yep.
And there's so many questions you need to ask. I mean, you're entrusting your greatest asset, your child, to these people. And I know my daughter went to one place that wasn't that great. She went to a second place that was a little better. And now is the first time we've seen any improvement at all. So I think for parents, you need to talk about it. You need to pick up your head. You need to look around. You need to ask the hard questions and fight for your child. And Saving Teens, I mean, I couldn't do this without them, because they got a great scholarship for Vanessa. Thank God, my daughter. I wouldn't be able to do it. I fear that, I mean, in all seriousness, I believe that we weren't a family. We just struggled day to day. And now we're learning to be one. I mean, there's some hope for the future here. That was never there before. A year ago, not there at all. So that parents, is... definitely reach out. Reach out to other people. You're not alone.
Yeah.
The other thing is for reaching out to the educational consultants, that the consultants will listen to your story, or their intake person will, and then if they can help, they will give you a referral. You know, they'll take the case or talk to you. If you don't have the funds, or if this is not the type of case they take, they should be able to refer you to in the right direction, which is what happens with Saving Teens. And that's why we're here, to raise the funds so that we can help more kids.
Yeah. Now, Leslie, how do you work with the programs, you know, that you send the kids to? Tell us a little bit more about Saving Teens Association with NATSAP. How do you make that
okay.
work?
Okay. The programs decide what part you're going to take in sharing the cost of the both programs and people who are transport agents and interventionists, whoever is needed. The neuropsychologists might be called in, wilderness or hospital programs followed by longer term. So depending on what they can do or are willing to do, they have scholarships set up. They contact NATSAP, and NATSAP contacts Saving Teens, or vice versa. And they sponsor things at the golf tournament, or they let it be known that they have a half scholarship, a 25% scholarship, whatever it is that they can do. Then those of us on the advisory board and the board vet the case. Once they've passed what they need to be doing for the financial piece, then we would either recommend testing, speak to the parents, perhaps, depending on the case, meet the child or Skype, get all the background information, make the match, contact programs to see what they're willing to do. They may have a standing scholarship. They may offer more. And the parents really do have to participate financially in some way, because in all my years of doing this, in the early years, I didn't know any better. And when people got a totally free ride, it was much easier for them, but they also didn't pay attention to what they had to do as parents as part of the program. So it's very important for parents to participate financially as well as emotionally and everything else they need to do. And then we follow them and we follow their progress with the program. And then we will do, as with Jennifer's daughter, we'll do the next step, the going home and the transition, or a step-down program, whatever's going to be appropriate. So each program contributes differently.
Yeah. What I hear you saying, Leslie, is that you're helping them follow through. And I think that's great, because, you know, it isn't just about going to a program. And unfortunately, you know, at times that happens, where it's a matter of, you know, a family makes a decision, they find somebody on the internet or whatever, and they send their child to the program and they expect, okay, fix them, and then when the child comes back, everything's supposed to be great. And I love the fact that you're sharing with, you know, everybody that it doesn't stop there, that there is follow through that needs to be done that includes everybody, it includes the whole family, so that it has a greater chance for success for everybody. So anyway, it's
more successful when the parents are participating as well, because the child looks to the parents and says, well, I'm doing all this work, what are you doing? And so everything is pretty in ready to go by the time they are able to return home, for those who are. And, you know, the parents understand how to better work with their children. The education piece is set up, whatever that looks like, and then some coaching and therapists in their area, wherever that may be. So,
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love it, because it really is, it tracks everything, and it gets everybody to follow through. And we're going to take a break, but we will be right back. And for everybody out there listening, we are talking to Leslie Goldberg, and the primary points that we're talking about is saving teens. That is the goal. That is the goal for most of us in this industry, is we are saving teens, which equates to saving families. If you want to go to their website, it's www.savingteens.com. You can check things out.
Open up a screen. It's .org.
.org. I'm sorry. I've got a typo. thank you.
Oh, maybe it's I thought it was .org.
No, I think you're right. But go to .org and .com then. Anyway, go and check it out. Open up another screen. Take a look. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, and now we're back, and we have an instant message coming across to us, and I would like to read this, and I would like Leslie and Jennifer, our mom, to both comment on this. This one says, 2 years ago, the nicest 16-year-old girl was working part-time in our offices. She started dating what I would call a bad boy, and it was all downhill from there. Her life is now in ruins after being arrested for possession of drugs, suspended from her school, and has now been alienated from her family. She has reached out to me to talk, but I have never dealt with this kind of thing and don't have a clue where to start. What would be your recommendation, and how can I still be of any real help to her?
Okay.
Leslie?
I think that means that she's 18 now.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes, and that is a bit of a problem because, first of all, saving teens doesn't help the 18-year-old and above unless they've started with us at a younger age, because the parents do not have any say when a child becomes an adult. The young adult must want the help, and very often they don't. Now, there are wonderful programs for young adults, but Saving Teens does not and cannot help with young adults. Perhaps consultants could, but parents have to be a part of it, unfortunately. So the local agencies, church, there are typically drug and alcohol, if she could go to, or someone could go to the AA or NA or Al-Anon is for family members, and perhaps they know of resources to be able to get her some help. But that's the only thing I can think of without knowing the case specifically.
And Jennifer, would you have anything that you would want to share, and maybe more towards the way in which she might be able to help, at least to direct her to start establishing a better relationship with the family?
Yeah, I mean, I think talk is in conversation, and they need to meet in a public place so none of them can raise their voice. That's a great way to start, you know, opening it up. Try to be non-judgmental. You know, she made some mistakes. You know, some things went awry. But, you know, if she really wants to get back on track, there are many resources. I mean, the first thing she could do is try and get her GED. But if she shows the commitment to it, then you go to the next step. I don't know if you guys have it out there, but in the East we have 211 info line, which is the United Way, which is a great resource to use for these type of situations when you're trying to figure out what's available and what help you can get and how to get people on the right path.
Actually, we have another, it must be a thing for daughters, we have another instant message coming across, and this says, to your parent, so Jennifer, I believe this is addressed to you, it says, my 15-year-old daughter is staying away from home and not attending school. She contacts me from time to time, but refuses to tell me exactly where she's at, just that she is at friends' houses and that she believes that I should accept her ability to, you know, to stay where she's at. I'm sorry, there's some misspellings in here. Anyway, that I should accept her to stay, to allow her to stay where she's at, and that she won't start attending school until I tell her that, that she doesn't have to stay at home all the time. That's an odd thing. Is there anything that you can add? And then Leslie may have something as well.
Yeah, I mean, as a mom, a lot of this is just control battles that are exhausting. But I have to say, and this may not be the most popular answer, that she's truant. And she needs to be reported as truant. And what that will do is bring in other services that will let her know she's not in charge. I can just say from experience that when my own daughter stole from me, I reported it to the police. Because if she'd steal from me, what else is she going to, you know, who else would she steal from? And it's heartbreaking. You don't want to do that. But, you know, this girl does not have the judgment to be out on her own. She's not an adult. She needs to be definitely in an environment where she can be safe, first of all. And I hope the mother, she's listening. You know that she's safe, I'm hopeful. You know that she's away from the bad influence of other parents, you know, who do drugs and so forth. I mean, it can go on and on. So I think if you call in some of the troops, as horrible as it's going to be, and as mad as she's going to be at you, it's going to come out better in the end. You can't do this by yourself.
You know, if I can add a bit to that, I think you touched on something when you mentioned in regards to the other parents and what are the other parents like. I mean, think about the fact that if a child ran away, if you have teens yourself and a child ran away and said they wanted to stay with you, at least from my standpoint, I would want to talk to the other parent. You know, whatever the story is that I'm being told. And normally, I mean, when a child runs away, they don't run away and go to another house and say, my parents are wonderful. They tell stories, may or may not be true. But I would want to talk to the other parent. And if your daughter is not able to make that happen, there's a problem with where she's staying in either case, either with the parent or with the fact that your daughter isn't really telling the truth and she's really not staying in another home. So, Leslie, what would you add to this?
Well, what I would add is that it depends on the state that the child is from, because she may not be truant at 15 in some states.
That's a great point.
As bizarre as that sounds. So if it's a state where she can skip school at 15, I think calling in the authorities is the Department for Children. It's different names in different states. The Department of Children and Families or Department of, they're just different children and family services. So that would be one. But by holding the line and saying, these are my rules, you need help, I am willing to do this with you and for you, but if you're not willing to come home and get the help, and you can't come home, you're on your own. And as heartbreaking and as terrible as that sounds, it's the reality, because if it comes to a standstill, you're not able to help her if she's at another house. But if she knows that you are willing to get the help, if she's willing to get the help, then that might be a solution.
Okay. I believe that we have another caller coming in. And caller, if you're listening, I believe we have Lon Woodbury on the line. Lon? I believe we have him on the line. Lon, can you hear us? Okay. I'm being told that he was on the line, and he and as they were trying to bring him in, he's been cut off, so they're going to reconnect him now. So Lon has the show that comes on directly after us. He is also an educational consultant, and I believe he may have a comment in regards to this. So they're getting him back right now. Lon, is that you? Lon, are you with us?
Hi there, yes.
Hello, Lon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What's happening?
Well, you're calling in. I assume you were listening to the show. And you.
No, that was an accident. I was trying to just test it out. Sorry about that. But are you still on the air?
Well, yeah. We have Leslie Goldberg on the line, and we have a parent.
We're talking
about.
Hi, Leslie. Yeah, I was listening to you. You got some good call-ins there.
Yeah, anyway, we're talking about saving teens, and I know that it's a group that you're also very supportive of, so I thought you were calling in with your support as well.
Well, yes, definitely my support, and we got this great fundraising thing coming up this next week down in Irvine, California, and hopefully that's going to raise some money so we can help some more families.
Absolutely.
We're starting it now. The planning, those of us, it starts, the golf tournament is Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Right. Now, Leslie, it's my understanding that the golf tournament itself is sold out. I know because I'm in it, and unless something has changed, but for anybody that wants to donate, that they want to get involved, can you share with us some of the ways in which they can get involved?
Absolutely. Just go to the website, savingteens.org. And there will be many ways to donate via the website. The golf tournament and the dinner, both are completely sold out, which is really exciting, and way in advance as well. So next year, just if you want to get involved, do it early. But savingteens.org is the website.
All right.
Well, I can, since I'm on your program, this is a fantastic situation, and there's a lot of parents. I get calls all the time, and I know all of us do, of parents, just like the guest you had on earlier, that has a definite need and real problems with their child, and if the child doesn't get the kind of help that they need, then there's going to be problems in the future, and so anything anybody can do to help this out is would be really fantastic, because there are lots of families in need.
Well, Lon, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you calling in. And for anybody out there that's listening, if you stay on immediately after our show, Lon will be on. Lon, who are you going to have on today?
Oh, I'm talking about autism. Dr. Robert Melaleo, I think is how you pronounce it.
Okay.
The title that I'm looking at is Autism, What Brain Research is Teaching Us.
All right. So for everybody out there, if it's a subject that interests you, stay on the line or keep listening. After the CBS News, Lon's show will be on. Lon, thank you so much for coming on, and I will be listening as well.
Okay, well, very good. Well, I'll see you on the other side of the break.
You got it. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
All right. And Leslie, if we're having a lot of fun out here. If you can excuse me. I had to drink a little water here. Can you share with us some other stories of some of the families, so that the families that are out there, that they can understand? And I love the fact that you said that both you and Jennifer talked about the fact that you're not alone out there, but Some of the other types of situations in which Saving Teens has been able to work with a family and really be able to help them, because I think a lot of parents may look at, say, Jennifer's situation and say, well, my child isn't exactly like that, so maybe I'm not a good fit. So share with us some other examples or success stories.
Sure. In the early days of Saving Teens, there was a government grant, and the grant had restrictions tied to it. The adolescent had to have substance abuse issues. That was part of their mandate. So in the beginning, the kids had substance abuse issues, and we would place them accordingly. And the treatment plan would be entirely different from one like Jennifer's daughter. Others have had learning issues. Very often adoption is a piece of this, but anxiety, depression, those on the autism spectrum who are misinterpreted for having, that's why good testing is absolutely necessary. Some feel that they have auditory or visual hallucinations when it's just the way they're seeing the world. So testing is key. The other, there could be very significant learning issues, which then prompt just giving up and having perhaps suicidal ideation or suicidal attempts. What else could there be? Physical challenges that then bring about emotional issues. But everything truly has an emotional component, and they need a therapeutic program ranging from therapeutic wilderness programs to, again, hospital diagnostic programs or diagnostic programs that are not in the hospitals, followed by either a treatment center. And the different designations, if you go to NATSAP.org, N-A-T as in Tom, S-A-P, that's the conference that's out here in Irvine, you can find the different titles, the different descriptors for what I'm describing, how they differentiate between different kinds of programs if you don't have an understanding of that. And then, of course, the transition plan for either going home or becoming independent, depending on the age. And it's soup to nuts. There isn't any one right or wrong referral. So if it's wrong, or if the parameters aren't correct, the parents will be advised.
Okay. Well, and again, I appreciate that. And essentially, I mean, it's, you know, if you are out there, if you are having having trouble with your child, if you call into Saving Teens, there's a good chance that they're going to be able to steer you in the right direction. And Leslie, you mentioned that in some cases, you know, some programs may be offering a 25% or a 50% scholarship. So there may be something that, you know, if you say, well, wait a minute, you know, I actually do have a little bit of money, I can do part of this. So you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, there may be some assistance, you know, at different levels or different scales. Would that be correct?
Yes, it's correct. And the parents have to have some money to be able to participate. If there's absolutely no way that the parents can pay anything, they are not appropriate for Saving Teens.
Okay, and in those situations, they should contact their local community.
Any community services, yes.
Yeah, their local community services. And is Jennifer still on the line with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, I thought so. Okay, Jennifer. Again, if you could just. You know, if you could share a little bit about some of the steps that a parent could take just to be able to recognize where they're at a little bit sooner. You know, in other words, you had said that you started seeing some signs when your child was, you know, very, very young. You know, are there some certain indicators that if you start seeing it, that will help parents recognize things that maybe they should start looking into things a little bit sooner? Because I think that if we can, you know, start recognizing things before, you know, they're in their teens or before they're, you know, especially there are times in which, you know, parents will start making calls and the child's 17 years old and you've really, you know, set up a situation to where it may be more difficult, you know, to get the help that you need. So what are some indicators?
I mean, for me, I would say, honestly, it's not so much indicators. I think you know as a parent when – I think you realize as a parent when something's wrong. I think what you need to be able to do is, first of all, admit that to yourself that something's not right. And don't believe everybody else is really my best advice, because I have to say, for 5 years, I was convinced it was me, because that's what everybody was telling me, that her behavior would change with a warm bath, that she would grow out of it, all these different things. And I totally could not agree with you more. I mean, the earlier the intervention, the better. But definitely, I would say reach out to your pediatrician first if they're that young. My daughter was one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I reached out to my pediatrician, and I kind of just went up the scale from there, trying to reach out, you know, when she was at preschool, was this behavior other kids exhibited, was it not? But I truly do believe that, you know, deep down, you know, when someone's, and you can't measure it on a chart. You can't measure it against, you know, what should they weigh at this age, it just has nothing to do with that. You can tell when something is off, a lack of eye contact, you know, antisocial behavior, just things that kids would normally be doing, playing in the playground, but your kid's off in the corner by himself. You know, that's unusual.
Right. Yeah. So in other words, be observant, trust your own instincts as a parent, and something, you know, that Leslie does, which is the testing. Go ahead and go out and get professional testing. You don't have to believe what, you know, if you call and you talk to a community center. So wherever it is that you are on the spectrum financially, get the testing that you need and get a clearer view of what it is that you're going through. And at that point in time, you know, hopefully you'll be steered in the right direction. But again, that's one of the benefits of having a really good and knowledgeable educational consultant to help steer you. I'm looking at the time. I can't believe that we are out of time already. Thank you to both of you. Jennifer, for coming on. I really appreciate you sharing your personal story. And Leslie, Leslie, of course, thank you for all you do for helping families in your own practice, and then donating your time to Saving Teens. And for everybody out there, again, go to savingteens.org. You can make a difference. There will be a way that you can do it. So go check it out. Look at some of the success stories. Click on that button that says, "How can I help?" Okay? Everybody, have a great week. Is there any closing thoughts, Leslie, that you would like to add?
Actually, Jennifer's daughter is on the Saving Teens site singing. It's so incredibly beautiful.
It's amazing. I have to brag about it because this might be the first time I've been able to brag ever. You have to go see it. It's okay. Fabulous. It really is.
Okay, everybody, now you've got your marching orders. I want to see, like, I want to see 2,000 hits in the next 10 minutes between
Excellent.
Now and the time. Yeah, in the next 10 minutes, I want to see at least 2,000 hits on savingteens.org, because everybody needs to go and listen to Jennifer's daughter. So, again, thank you both.
And thank you to
everybody associated with Saving Teens for the work that you do. Again, everybody, have a great week. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.